This is Jordan Sekulow, President Trump, ready to move on with his agenda on health care and tax reform with or without GOP leadership.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Folks, plenty to talk about today in Washington, D.C., with President Trump already signaling through his new chief of staff, General John Kelly, that he is willing to work towards his agenda, especially on health care still and on tax reform, with or without GOP leaders. Now, we hear remarks from the GOP leadership that they're moving on from health care. That's not the case, though, from senators like Senator Lindsey Graham or from the Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price, who is meeting with another senator, Senator Kennedy, yesterday at the White House, and now reports that the new White House chief of staff is even reaching out, as we reported would happen if Republicans failed to do this on their own, reaching out to Democrats as well on both of these issues, on health care reform and on tax reform. And that's because Obamacare, in its current state, is not sustainable. Let's go right to Washington, D.C. Our dad, chief counsel, ACLJ, in our studios there. And Dad, that is what we've predicted all along, was that if Republicans could not get this done, that President Trump would reach across the aisle if he had to. And it appears that is happening right now.
Well, because you really have no choice. I mean, you have to look at the reality of the facts on the ground. And the facts on the ground is that Republican leadership was unable to deliver a win. And when I say deliver a win, they weren't able to cross the line to get even the what's called the stripped down version of the health care repeal put forward. So then you have to look at, this is not a political issue. This isn't a partisan issue. This is an issue impacting the American people. We know there has to be reform in health care because it's not sustainable in its current form. By the way, the Democrats are acknowledging that. They're acknowledging that there has to be significant modifications to the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare as it's called, in order for it to succeed. They're saying it. So this isn't any great shock that now you're seeing a situation where the president is doing what a president would do, which is reach across party lines. And I'm with Sam Bennett, our government affairs director, right here in the studios in Washington, D.C. with me. I mean, there's really no choice here.
We said it all along, Jay. The president would have to reach out to make sure that the American people didn't suffer under the collapse of the structure. Now, people need to understand what this is, though, Jay. I mean, you're not going to get repeal of all of the taxes if you have to reach across party lines. That's what gets Democrats on board. But what choice does the president have? What choice do people like Senator Graham, who supported repeal, by the way, have, but to push forward an alternative? There is a way to save him from this. It would be to get one of those three senators who opposed repeal to come back on board. But short of that, Jay, what choice does he have? He has an obligation to the American people to try to protect them from the collapse that's coming.
So, Jordan, what you've been saying since the outset on this is exactly correct, and we'll take phone calls and comments about this and a whole host of other things that are happening in Washington, D.C. and around the world. I also was in a meeting this morning on Pastor Brunson, Andrew Brunson, continuing to make progress there. I will tell you, pray for the State Department. They're in the negotiations with the Turkish government authorities, so that's moving forward. I'm optimistic, but as this has been a case that continues to be drawn out, and I hate saying that, but the nature of these are that's what happens. But at least I will tell you there's significant movement going on right now on this.
Yeah, so folks, we want to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. I want to get your reaction. Is this something, again, I think that a lot of you out there fed up with a lot of the leadership, not all Republicans, I want to make that clear, but the leadership who have tried to rush this along. And they say they want to get to other agenda items, but then they can't agree on that either. I mean, on the tax reform issue, there's a lot of disagreement there. So the idea that there will be a reaching out across party lines, this is a president who has the ability to do that, hasn't yet had to, but now that Republicans have not been able to get things across the line with majorities in the House and the Senate, has really, as Stan said, forced to, because healthcare is collapsing in our country. We need tax reform. There's actually some bipartisan support for a lot of tax reform issues that you could get to the table and kind of bypass Republican leadership if you have to. Logan, we're broadcasting online as well, taking people's phone calls. Want to get their thoughts on this potential new strategy move by the White House.
That's right. Absolutely. You can do that by giving us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. You can also log in and talk to us on social media, Facebook and Periscope. Just search for Jay Sekulow.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines, we got one line open right now, 1-800-684-3110. We're also taking your comments on Facebook and Periscope, and appreciate those of you who are joining online as well. Share this with your friends and family. We've got our dad, our chief counsel, ACLJ, Jay Sekulow, is in our Washington, D.C. studio joining us as well. Than Bennett's there too. And we're talking about really these moves on domestic policy. We know how much grassroots energy is out there still on healthcare.
Yep.
We found that out yesterday, Dad. Yeah. We brought up some other issues in foreign policy, and people were just so upset that Republican leaders looked like they were trying to move on and kind of wash their hands clean of and do nothing on healthcare, which we know is going to be a disaster for most of the country when they have no insurance options and their premiums skyrocket 100%+.
Yeah, every one of these members of the Senate that we've done, I think, a very effective job on this broadcast of pointing out where these number of these senators have come out specifically on running for the repeal of Obamacare. They were given basically three opportunities to do it in about 10 days, and they couldn't do it. And again, you know, people say, well, it wasn't the whole Republican Party, and that's true. And McCain was a deciding vote. Well, he was, but there were other people that could have been involved in that as well. But let me say this. You can't give up. Now, there is a move right now that I know Senator Graham has put forward. And, Than, what kind of progress does that make? And I also know that a lot of people are commenting on Facebook and Periscope, and our phone lines are jammed.
Well, it starts with the premise of the skinny bill, which is the repeal of the individual mandate, employer mandate, and then the medical device tax. But here's where it differs, Jay. It leaves the remaining taxes in place and block grants them to the states. And there might be some listeners saying, well, look, I want to get rid of taxes. Well, look, this is what happens when Republicans can't get a repeal bill over the line, is you have to put something on the table that would attract Democrat votes, because you have to have Democrat votes to move that forward. Jordan said it right. John Kelly's already reached out to members of the Democrat leadership. They appear willing to talk about this. And look, there might be some listeners that are saying, well, why are we even talking about this? Jay, we're talking about it because Republicans couldn't get repeal over the line. And the president has an obligation to deliver some relief to the American people. So there's two choices. Republicans can pass repeal, or Republicans and Democrats can come to a compromise. And that's how a proposal like Senator Graham's might get over the line.
And Jordan, I think, look, the American people are being very clear here that they want to have a resolution on this, and they want to get something fixed. They want this to be better. And the Democrats, by the way, are acknowledging, I think, that there are problems here. They don't want the repeal of Obamacare, because it's kind of the signature legislation. But I think what Senator Graham said is significant here. Let's listen to number 25.
I am like 1,000% with Donald Trump on this. We should be politically horsewhipped if we don't try again.
And again, I think that that is where the American people feel is that they cannot believe that the GOP leaders think that they can run off from Washington, D.C. without doing anything on health care, say they're going to move on to tax reform. And let's be honest, do anyone think they're going to be able to get that done? I mean, that they're going to get 50 to agree on that? I mean, when they can't get 50 to agree on the one campaign promise they ran on, which was, again, repealing Obamacare, and the people are switching their votes that they had already cast a year and a half ago on the record without any issue because of the pressure they're getting from, you know what it is, folks, the interest groups from the insurance companies and these other major corporations. The insurance companies love Obamacare. It's a bailout. Now, there is the talk about some of the subsidies to Obamacare, and I discussed this in an interview yesterday, the subsidies that Congress is able to take part in. You know that what's kind of interesting here is that though the members of Congress and their staffs do buy their health insurance off an exchange in D.C., it's a special exchange, they get to use government subsidies to buy their off the exchange. It covers 3/4 of their costs. Now, the American people who have to use the exchange don't hardly get any kind of subsidies. That's why they fall in the gap of needing an exchange in the first place. They're not getting it from their work. They're not getting it because they make too much for Medicaid. They're not old enough for Medicare. They don't get 3/4 of their health insurance paid for. And so President Trump has threatened those subsidies as well. And I think, Than, that maybe some of this, I mean, maybe you have to just go through and do it to get Congress to actually act.
I absolutely think you have to. The Congress and their staff are not feeling the pain of people who are having to buy plans on Obamacare. Jordan, you gave the key stat. About 3/4 of their premiums, 75% of their premiums are being paid by subsidies. The American people who are being forced to comply with Obamacare go on the federal exchange. What do they get? In many cases, because they can't qualify for the subsidies in Obamacare, they get zero. That's why members of Congress and their staff feel okay leaving for the August recess without addressing it, because guess what? They are not feeling the same pain that the American people are under Obamacare.
And let me say that, Logan, what are we hearing from the people on Facebook and Periscope? Because I know there's a tremendous amount of frustration out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's been the common thread this whole week and last week as well. People are just frustrated. People are saying it's time for them to move over and replace. A lot of people are just frustrated. And people are very confused as well. Say, all right, let's go to a phone call. Let's go to Mark, who's calling online too. Mark, you're on the air.
Hi, Mark.
Yeah, hi. This is an honor for me to speak. If Jay's still on the line,
he's
been a hero of mine for years and years and years and years. I'm just an old evangelist that drives truck. But, when the president ran, when he was still running, he basically came out with a health care plan that was formerly the old Newt Gingrich plan, but it was still pretty much a sound plan. What happened to that?
Politics. The politics of Washington, D.C. Plan was good. I thought it was an accurate approach, and I think it was a healthy approach to reformulation of health care. But what happened was the body politic. And the body politic in these kind of situations, you end up with what we did this time, which was Logan, I think you said it, it looked like a stage show that was going on in that late night event.
This
was all planned. It was all pre-politics. Go ahead.
Yeah, every piece of that felt fake. And I think a lot of people saw through it. A lot of people saw that there was if you now look back on it, you can see the narrative beginning and ending. There was clearly a path they were going to go, regardless of how things were going to be said. And they're going to draw it out till late night. And again, it's just a show. It's become a form of entertainment for a lot of people. And sadly, a lot of people's health are at risk for their entertainment.
Yeah, well, that's the unfortunate part. Look, we've heard from the American people on this, and believe me, the elected representatives are hearing from the American people on this, so this isn't coming out of a vacuum. The problem is getting them to refocus on it, and I raise this question, I'll raise it with Dan and get Jordan's comments too, is there any movement on anything of substance right now other than reaching over the aisle and cutting some kind of deal to help the American people here?
I think the only thing moving is something that's reaching across the aisle, because I think the Republican Party has spoken. Now, look, there's time for them to come back and reconsider, but I don't see them happening.
When are they going
right
out?
Now. The House is gone right now. The Senate is here for 2 more weeks, Jay. Just one point on this, though. The president was willing to sign the House bill. He was willing to sign the Senate repeal and replace. He was willing to sign the repeal only. He was willing to sign the skinny bill. He has not forced his will and his preferences on the legislature.
Right.
Jay, they are the ones that have failed to put something
on question.
His desk.
No question about that. All right, Jordan.
Yeah, I think Anthony, calling in from Atlanta, Georgia, he's got an idea of what to do regardless – on line six. Anthony, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hello, hi, gentlemen. Yes, sir. Hi. I'd like to know, I don't understand why Trump's reaching across the aisle with the Democrats, because if he does, I think if they come in some kind of agreement, they'd be like a wolf in sheep clothing. And I think President Trump should immediately stop subsidies going to congressional members' insurance. For we got people out here that can't even afford insurance, so but our tax dollars go to pay for our congressional members' insurance. I think not. Ma'am?
And is yeah, I mean, that's what Jordan's been calling for. President Obama said that while members of Congress and their staff have to buy off the federal exchange, he was going to allow their employers, which is the federal government's contributions, to subsidize those plans. Jay, that is unlike everybody else who's in the individual market
right.
buying on Obamacare.
Right.
I do think that President Trump should get away.
What do you think on that, Jordan?
At this point, I would do it. I would actually pull the trigger. There's some. It's not part of the law. It was a rule put forward through an agency rule. It was actually challenged in court at one period of time, and whether the government could even do it. But I don't think that has any say on whether or not you have to allow this to happen. And so, again, it would be extreme. This would be bipartisan negative reaction, but it would force Congress, because they would not be able to afford their own insurance. You realize that they're playing a very dangerous game when many members of Congress, on the salaries that they even make, would not be able to buy insurance for their families without these subsidies. And certainly, as Stan knows from the congressional salaries and the staffs on Capitol Hill, they would never be able to afford those plans that they have right now without these subsidies that they're getting because we pay our tax dollars.
What, Logan, you've got a lot of friends that I know are in the Obamacare exchanges because they're self-employed. What are they saying about all this?
Yeah, a lot of people are, it's mixed bag. It's a lot of people. You know, some of my friends are definitely in support of Obamacare and have had a lot of issues, though, and I think aren't really willing to, I mean, somewhat the political spectrum in general, aren't really willing to go one way or the other, aren't willing to admit it. Yeah.
Yeah, because we've always said from the beginning, once you give people a subsidy, even if the subsidy's not working great, or even if they tell you it won't be there for you in the future, like Social Security.
Okay.
You can't touch, the government can't touch it. The only thing the government is allowed to do is put more money into it, and then everybody's okay with that. Now, sometimes they'll vote and say we need reform and we need, you know, we saw this on Obamacare, and yet still no action. We'll continue to take your phone calls, your comments, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. We take your comments online through Facebook and Periscope as well. And Logan, people can join the broadcast that way.
Absolutely. Again, there are no lines open right now, but you can always find us online. You always get your comment in that way. Facebook.com/JaySekulow. Periscope actually from Jordan's page today. You can find that on our Twitter accounts.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. During the break, where we keep broadcasting through Facebook and Periscope, we were discussing the subsidies, one that goes to the insurance companies from the federal government to prop up those companies to then offer plans on the exchange. And most of those companies are still deciding, even with those subsidies, it's better for them economically not to be involved at all. That's why you have these situations where there's only one choice in some counties across the country, because the other insurance companies have decided it's not worth, it's not even with the subsidies they get from the federal government. And then there's these subsidies that the congressmen and women and their staffs get, where they purchase on the exchange, but 75% of their cost, 75% is paid for by you and me through subsidies as well. That if you, again, are a normal person going through the exchange, you may get some subsidies here or there, but you don't get 75% subsidization. They're basically getting like Medicaid for free, and much better plans than that.
I wonder what the go ahead.
And the question is, does President Trump pull the trigger on those two subsidies? One would implode the entire system. One would implode the members of Congress and their staff. Most of them would not be able to afford the insurance plans.
So we've gotten a lot of calls coming, and we're going to get to those at 800-684-3110. But, Logan, I'd like to know what people are saying on Facebook and Periscope as well. It tends to skew a little bit younger. But what are they saying about whether they should stop the subsidies to the president, to the members of Congress and their staffs or not? That'd be very interesting thing to know.
A lot of people are just asking that question. Like Dorian said, no exemptions for representatives on anything, any chance that can happen.
I mean, it's an agency rule, correct, Than? I mean, this was just an HHS ruling.
That's right.
Not in the law.
And President Obama put it into place because the staff was feeling the crushing weight of Obamacare. So President Trump could remove it. And we do have to say this, though. It would be wildly unpopular here.
And it's not like we don't want to hurt. It's not like a question of hurting people. I want to be clear on that. It's not like we're saying, oh, let's go ahead and hurt the staff of the Congress. But this is what the American people are dealing with.
Yeah.
And the Congress and their staffs are getting a special benefit. Well, that would have been wonderful if you fixed the whole system. But they didn't.
Well, yeah, I mean, you
so
can make a case.
This is part of the problem that's in place.
These elected officials are hurting the entire country. It's not so much their staff. It's not the 22-year-old that got a job out of college working for a congressman. It's these people who ran ads saying they'll repeal Obamacare, replace it with something better, who couldn't get the job done. They're hurting the country, and yet they're not feeling the pain when it comes to insurance. They're getting 75% of their insurance paid for by us, so they have no urgency personally. Politically, you'd think they would, but personally, they have no urgency, nor does their staff, of changing anything that they're going to be responsible for when they know that they're not going to be able to get a sweet deal like that again. They've all, Republicans know there's no way they're going to authorize something where they're exempt or they're not included in the normal process that is set up for the everyday person.
I think you're 100% correct. All right, Logan, let's go right back to the phones, take some more calls, get some more comments as well.
Let's go to Mary Ellen in Chicago.
Hi, Mary Ellen.
You're on the air.
Oh, hello, everyone. I followed this back with you all from 2009, and I remember then that they were all getting a Cadillac plan. And now when I mean, it was bad last week, but then when I hear the president talking about withdrawing the subsidies to the insurance companies, because I kept thinking it's only the insurance companies, now to find out that the congressmen, the senators, they get not only the Cadillac plan, but 75% of their premium that we're paying for, to me it's outrageous. And I think the president needs to pull the trigger.
Well, I mean, you know, look, we'll see what happens, what the president and his advisors decide to do. But the fact is, you just laid out the facts as they are, which most Americans, and that's why I'm glad we're able to do this broadcast every year, which most people have no idea that that's actually what's going on here. That the folks across the street from us have got a deal that nobody else in the United States of America has if you're on the individual exchanges. Nobody.
I love that Mary Ellen remembers the history, too. The Federal Employee Health Benefits Program was the Cadillac plan she was talking about. Senator Grassley introduced an amendment that says, no, we're going to give up that and we're going to go on the exchange. But then President Obama bailed them out by saying we're going to pay for 75% of it. So, yeah, it went through several iterations. But the bottom line, Jay, where we are today, members of Congress and their staff don't feel the weight of Obamacare like the American people do.
No, I think that's exactly correct. And you know what you do in a situation like this is you get your voice heard on this, and if the position is if they don't get this fixed, that subsidy goes out the door. It goes, and maybe the question is the subsidy should go anyways. That's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother debate. But as it stands right now, the American people are being penalized while Congress and their staffs are getting a benefit That's not the way it's supposed to be.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Logan, who's next?
All right, yep, continuing on. Let's go to, we'll go to Monty, who's calling from California on line 3. Monty, you're on the air.
Hey, Monty.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
All right,
hey, Jay, you got the president's ear. I agree with what you just said. That lady is right on. Get Mary rid Ellen. Of the subsidies. Put everybody in the same box. These guys will quit messing around up there and losing by 1 point and all that. Let's all one put vote, them yep. in one box, one voice.
Is it? Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Monty. So here's my question. And Monty, have you talked to any of your friends about this? Is this widely known within the American people? Monty, have you heard this anyplace else?
No, most of the people did not realize that when you're right. making $175,000 a year, that you're also, all your medicals being subsidized. In the outside, if you make over like $40,000, you don't get subsidies. Okay?
No, there's no subsidies. 60. And then if you're on a, you know, you may have a health a plan provided by your employer, but that's not the same as being on the exchanges, which is where the Obamacare issue comes in. Well, I think, look, this is Monty. This is the great debate that should be happening right now. And it sounds like to me, and Logan, you could verify this on our social media feeds. I'm certainly seeing it with the calls coming in on radio. That people have had it with this. I mean, they realize this. It would have been one thing, I think, if they got it resolved, but they did not.
Yeah,
and I think that's what's got everybody angry.
I think that's true. I think it's the reason we're still on this topic. It's something that feels like we're like, all right, it's time to move on. And the callers and the comments have made sure, no, we're not ready to move on from this topic. This is something we're going to vent about, we're going to address it, and we're going to hopefully get something done. That's something that's become very clear the last week as we've been recording these shows live. And that's the good part about having Facebook and having also calls is we're able to tell what do people want to talk about. And even if our plans had changed, people want to get back to this topic because something that is important to everyone.
No, I think that's exactly right. Do we have time for one more call, or let's maybe hold the calls? Let me just say something here. Look, there are a lot of issues that are going on in Washington, D.C. I approved today a petition for certiorari to the Supreme Court of the United States on a case involving the Center for Medical Progress and that entire appeal on those videos involving Planned Parenthood. That case is now going to the Supreme Court of the United States. So we've got that going up. We already have a series of cases for crisis pregnancy centers on a very important free speech issue. That is already at the Supreme Court of the United States. Then you take a look on the legislative side, and we've got the health care issue. On an international side, you've got the genocide issue. You've got fighting for Israel. And then you've got the whole situation with North Korea and the danger that North Korea poses for world stability. All of this is happening in what is supposed to be the dog days of summer. Now, the truth is, Look, August 1st in Washington, D.C., the traffic is already reduced. People leave town. That's what happens here. But it'll prove to be a busy fall, no doubt.
Yeah, folks, we have a second half hour coming up of the broadcast. Phone lines, we got one line open.
Yeah, one
right
line's
now.
Open. I'm sure some will change. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. If we do lose you here, you can find the second half hour broadcast live each and every day on social media and at ACLJ.org. So again, ACLJ.org. Facebook.com/JaySekulow. Periscope broadcasting from Jordan's feed today. It's at Jordan Sekulow. You can also find it on Twitter as well. But again, if we lose you here, this is how you get it live. If you need to get us archived later on, if you got to leave, find us on the ACLJ app. It's available in the App Store. Also available on Apple TV. It's also available in the Roku Channel Store. And you can find out more at ACLJ.org. Right back.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. In our second half hour of the broadcast, we got Dan Bennett in Washington, D.C., our Director of Government Affairs. Our Chief Counsel was joining us there as well. And we've got our new studio up and running there, so you can see Than as well when we go to him and taking your phone calls. The focus now is on, with the new Chief of Staff, John Kelly, now in position and reports widely. And I think that, you know, it's sometimes people will say, well, are these stories leaks? What is a leak? What is not a leak? There are these stories out there about General Kelly, the new Chief of Staff, reaching out to Democrats across party lines on the issues like tax reform and health care, because Republican leaders, as we said in the opening, it's really the GOP leaders, not all Republicans, GOP leaders who want to try and move on to other issues. And by the way, does anyone think they could get tax reform done if they couldn't get health care reform done on their own without any kind of Democrat buy-in, when they couldn't even get their own party with the majority, with Vice President Pence able to cast a 51st vote if necessary? So with a margin of still being able to lose two senators, and I think they lost seven. So there is that question then of how far do you work across the aisle, and what's available to the president to really prod Congress on. One is the subsidies that members of Congress and their staff receive. About three-quarter of their health care costs are paid for by you and me through subsidies that were authorized by President Obama. That means they don't pay for 75% of their health care cost. We do for them. That can be changed very quickly through executive action, through the HHS, through agency rules. And I think it's outraging to a lot of people that is the case. And then second, there are subsidies that go to the insurance companies. Now, those subsidies, if they were pulled, would really implode the whole system. And I think that would put it into a, if you announced you were going to do this in 2 weeks, Congress would have to take action. I mean, I don't think they could allow that to happen, but they'd have to believe that you're for real on this. You'd have to put the processes in motion. Logan, let's go to the phones. We got no lines open right now, so we'll open some lines up by taking some calls.
Yeah, we'll just go in order. Usually do that at the end of the show, but let's get some of these people on hold for a while. Let's go to Ken, who's calling in Maryland on line six. Nancy, you're next. Ken, you're on the air.
Hey, Ken.
Hi. How you doing? Hey, another thing too with this doing away with the subsidies for the Congress and all that. I used to work in the U.S. Capitol as a supervisor, and one thing most people don't realize, there's a fully functional medical staff and medical facilities in the Capitol, with a fully stocked pharmaceutical facilities in the Capitol that Congress have access to. And what they need to do is start paying for that service, because right now they're able to go down to that medical service for whatever reason and get treatment for, and not even go to a doctor. But the government actually is paying through the Office of Attending Physicians.
Well, I think this is where I stand on this, Dan, is that I don't mind members of Congress getting health insurance and their staffs. I mean, they're elected officials. People put them in office. They got there. They get to have staff. And I'm not trying to punish them long term with the medical care they receive. But if they are going to punish the American people with a program that's not working, I think they have to be made to feel the heat to some extent.
Well, I think what's good for the goose is good for the gander, Jordan. And look, here's the thing that's even worse about it. The reason that the members of Congress and their staff continue to get these subsidies is because President Obama decided that they were going to be treated like a small business. Literally, Jordan, they're treating Congress like they have a small business exemption and allowing them to buy off the D.C. exchange while continuing to get the employer contributions that the American people who had to buy on the individual market would not get. Jordan, they are not a small business. They need to be treated just like the rest of America. And I think you said it right in an earlier segment. If they started to feel that pinch, you know what I bet would happen? I bet they would pass a bill.
You know what, folks? I mean, President Trump's tweeted about it, the potential. I think the pressure has got to be put on Congress and the American people. All of you who are calling in, I think your voices need to be heard. And the grassroots activism has got to continue. And so long as it does continue, people will not stop talking about this issue. And that's how you keep Congress focused on it as well, even through these recesses. We're going to continue to take your phone calls. Logan, tell people how they can get involved.
That's right. What you can do is, you can't give us a call right now, but when lines open up, you could. 1-800-684-3110. You can get us online, Facebook, Periscope, ACLJ.org. We'll be right back. Exclusive videos coming up in the break.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. People are fired up on healthcare. I mean, you know, and I think it's because there's, I'm not speaking for everybody, but I think taking all of your comments so far, so you're so angry that, I mean, the House is gone, the Senate's got a couple weeks left, and they're saying, and Than, I just want to confirm, I mean, so far, GOP leadership, I know that you've got senators like Senator Lindsey Graham and others who have gone out there and said, no, we cannot give up on this, we've got to keep working on this, but the Senate, GOP leadership has said they are done on this issue for now, and they're moving on. And the American people, go ahead.
Well, Mitch McConnell said it's time to move on, and he did. He did what's called putting it on the calendar, Jordan, which means he took it off the floor and he put it back on the list of things that could come back up. But they're on nominations now. And I would just quickly say, I think people are fired up because this is a very low bar to expect from our federal officials, that they would come to Washington, D.C. and do what? Just do what they promised their voters they would do if they were sent to Washington, D.C. That's a low bar to meet.
I mean, take a listen to this information from Senator Graham. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, Bite 27.
Four states under Obamacare get 40% of the money: New York, California, Massachusetts, and Maryland. My goal is to make sure that if you live in South Carolina, you get the same amount of money from the federal government as you would if you lived in California, with more flexibility. It'll put Democrats in a box. It will make health care more accessible to you. If you don't like what's going on, you complain to your governor or your state house guy rather than a bureaucrat in Washington. I'm so excited about this. Mr. President, don't let us quit.
So see, I mean, Than, you've got these ideas out there. And again, there may have been more conservative opposition previously to ideas like Senator Graham's, but you've got to imagine that now that even the most conservative members of Congress realize that if they don't do anything, they're going to feel the pain of this, at least politically, if not actually, with their own subsidies that they receive.
Well, I think Senator Graham would be the first to tell you, Jordan, that this isn't where he wanted to end up. He wanted to actually repeal Obamacare and start over. But we are where we are. And I think he agrees with President Trump in that you just can't let the structure collapse on the American people. So his idea is to repeal the mandates, repeal the medical device tax, and keep the rest of the taxes and send that money back to the states. Jordan, I like a lot of that, the state control. I don't love keeping the taxes. But guess what? If you have to work with Democrats to make sure that the structure of Obamacare doesn't government collapse. This is the kind of idea that you're going to end up with. And I would say this is probably the idea that is closest to enactment at this point. So if conservatives and Republicans in the Senate don't like it, they could still come back to the table and deliver 50 votes for repeal. If they don't, this kind of proposal is probably the best option to save the American people for what's coming.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to line four, Jim in Kansas. You're on the air.
Yeah, guys, thanks for your program. We currently are under the Affordable Health Care Act. I'm a pastor, and most of the time pastors don't get any kind of benefit for health insurance. And, you know, if this is retracted, there are subsidies, what does that do? Is that retroactive? Is that immediate? Will that take a few years?
Here's the truth, Jim. There's two kinds of subsidies we're talking about. One are the subsidies that members of Congress and their staff get. That would not affect you. That would affect them. There are the larger subsidies, though, that the insurance companies receive that are on the marketplace anymore. Now, I don't know, Jim. Every place is different. But how many options do you have available to you with last time you looked into buying the insurance? Do you have options available?
Yeah, in Kansas, we have a few still, but there are parts around us, states around us, or even sections around us that have dropped out completely.
Yeah.
From the main.
And that's even with the subsidies. Now, I think what you'd say is you'd put a date. You wouldn't just randomly say, okay, no more subsidies today. You put a date, say, you know, 3 months from now, the subsidies are gone. Congress, you could take action. Same thing for their subsidies as well. So, yes, I mean, if you took these subsidies out, the system would implode. I'm not going to keep this from people. Obamacare could not exist. Every insurance company would pull out. It would not be worth it to them. At the same time, if you put a date on it, it would give Congress time to act. But I think that the pressure would have to be real. It has to be a real red line where that if, for some reason, Congress didn't do it, you'd have to still pull that trigger. And that is politically, again, and it's not easy to do it for a president of the United States either. I mean, it's one thing to put that there, but you don't want to hurt families like Jim's either. I think that is the real problem that we're coming to is forcing the president's hand on what would you like the president to do if you're out there on this plan, if you're a conservative? You want him to have to go and reallocate more government resources to Obamacare? Because that's where we're heading right now. That is where we're heading right now. We can go back to the phones.
Yeah, let's take some of these as we go to the next segment. We like taking more calls there. We'll freshen up the lines. Let's go to Cordell, who's calling in New York on line two.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I'm glad to support your program, and thank you for the information that you provided. It's rank hypocrisy on the part of the Congress to get a benefit that they are denying the rank-and-file American from having. And I'm glad that you guys are bringing it forth. I think the president definitely needs to pull the trigger and the subsidies for Congress so then they can be in the same boat, so to speak, as the rest of us. Obviously, it's sinking, but they have a lifeboat, so to speak, that others do not have. And obviously, that's not equitable.
Yeah, no, I think that it's not fair in a system that's not working. If this system was working so great, no one would be talking about touching these members of Congress subsidies. But then we know the system's not working great, regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, and that they're being treated differently than everyone else under this plan. So they're not feeling it the same way other people who are experiencing the problems with Obamacare are, with the increase in the cost of insurance, even without the penalties applying to them. That is, again, having to choose between what? You don't have to pay a penalty, but maybe not having insurance. Those are not great options.
Well, and here's the real hypocrisy, Jordan. What you hear from members of Congress about keeping this exemption is that if they do away with it, they're not going to be able to attract the best and the brightest because they won't be able to provide the benefits they need to attract it. Yeah, no kidding. That's what businesses across America are dealing with. They cannot attract the best and the brightest because of the cost of healthcare premiums. So I would just say, I mean, it's a tough thing for the president to do. It's politically unpopular, but I think it would be well received across America. And most importantly, Jordan, I think it would force members on both sides of the aisle back to the negotiating table to actually get something done.
Yeah, I mean, it's a target right on the swamp. And again, if this is what the best and brightest can do, which is nothing, they can't get to an agreement, even when they're a Republican majority. If that's the best and brightest minds of the Republican Party, then again, I don't think those benefits are doing enough anyways. I mean, that's the truth is they're either not attracting the best staff or they're attracting, again, the swamp, and it's all about protecting themselves first. That's the Washington, D.C. problem. It's why it's different always in the states, why it's different than the executive branch, but especially Capitol Hill. Protect yourselves first, then figure out what to do for the American people. And that's not all members of Congress, but it's the ones who have been there and they've now made it to their leadership position. They've been there a long time. They have huge staffs that they like their positions of power and influence. And so they protect that first. And you know what? That's all fine, well, and good when things are working, when they're actually getting legislation done. But when they start stalling out and not being able to, I mean, it's like, what? They can only focus on nominations for the week. They can't also focus on healthcare at the same time with all the staff that they have. They're that incapable. It just seems like, again, a problem with Washington that people are, they're not going to accept. And you can tell from our phone lines, people are not going to accept this response from Congress.
Completely jammed with this. And I think we'll take one more call, at least for this segment, to try to get some more calls in for next segment, but we'll see. Like everyone keeps calling in. Let's go to Amy in New Jersey. That's a good problem to have. Amy, you're on the air.
Hi, everybody. I just want to let everybody know what I'm doing. I'm calling the White House every day, 202-456-1111. And stay on the line and leave them a message that you demand this. I don't know any other way. Tweeting the president, I've done the tweeting at POTUS, at Real Donald Trump. I've done everything. We all have to do that. I don't know. Is there any other suggestion you have to get the message?
He's already gone out there with this statement, too. I mean, the president, the reason why we're talking about it, Than, is because the president himself has put this on the table as something to, again, for members of Congress to consider that and remind them he has the power to do on both of these subsidies.
I think he will continue to do so. I think that's why the new chief of staff, John Kelly, did call the Democrats. He is doing what he promised he would do and what we told people he would do. He would reach across the aisle if he had to find a solution. I think these exemptions are going to go if it doesn't happen. But again, Jordan, let's just say this again. Republicans still have a choice. If they want to come together and do what they promised and repeal Obamacare, we don't have to walk through the exemptions. We don't have to negotiate with Democrats to keep higher taxes. We can just fulfill the promise, and 50 Republicans in the Senate can repeal Obamacare.
I mean, here's the tweet from President Trump. We have it pulled so people can see it who are watching on Facebook and Periscope. But he just said, if a new health care bill is not approved quickly, bailouts for insurance companies and bailouts for members of Congress will end very soon. Those are the two subsidies that we're talking about. So he has tweeted this out. That tweet was out, again, a few days ago. So he's putting this on the table. And I think the American people are obviously responding, Logan.
Absolutely. And right now, we usually say call in to be in the next segment. The phone lines are completely jammed. We will do our best to open them up. But that's at 1-800-684-3110. You can also always get your comments in online. And no, even if we don't get to them on the air, someone on our social media team reads every comment that comes in on Facebook. So every comment that comes in gets read, and someone here translates that. If there's a movement, we hear about it, and we find out all the information straight from you guys. It's a great way to do it. It's the reason we're still on this topic. Again, 1-800-684-3110 at aclj.org. You can find us on Facebook. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, The ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Logan's here, Than is here as well, and we are going to take your phone calls. We have had a lot of calls throughout the show today. We want to let people talk on this healthcare issue specifically. Even in our discussions today, we were talking about the different issues to bring up on radio, and I think we knew that with the report that the new Chief of Staff, General Kelly, was reaching out, and I think that was a signal. I think the reason why that story is there is a signal to Republicans is that this is a president who will be willing to work across party lines if you are not able to deliver. And again, I think his new chief of staff is demonstrating that already, reaching out to Democrats, not saying we won't go along with the Republican plan. The president was ready to sign it. But if the Republicans can't get a plan together, then you're going to have to figure something else out. Let's go right to the phones.
Yep. Let's take them in order. Let's go to Kim, who's calling from Oregon on line three. Thanks for holding.
Hello. Thank you for all you do. And my comment was that Congress definitely needs to have the same plan that the rest of us have to abide by. They should not have a special treatment, and I think they would have fixed this a long time ago, as well as, since they are not listening to the public anymore and haven't for some time, they need to have term limits. How can we get them to listen?
Listen, I think one way you can get them to listen on healthcare is the subsidies issue. But Than, I mean, people need to be reminded, you know, you can talk about term limits all you want and these issues, but in the House, they're elected every 2 years. The Senate is a bit more insulated, you know, that we talk about that with their 6-year terms, but that's done intentionally in the Constitution. But the House members, they're basically always up for reelection every other year. And so we all have a direct say in who is there in Washington.
Yeah, even without term limits, the American people still have the ultimate right. Power in who comes here. And just quickly to clarify to Kim, so she understands this exemption that's taking place. They used to have a Cadillac plan. Now, Jordan, they do pick from the same exact plans on the federal exchange. It's just that they're subsidized to the tune of 75%. I'd like to hear anybody else that's getting a 75% subsidy on their plan.
No, they're not, because if you were eligible for that, you'd be receiving it through Medicaid. I mean, that would be the truth. If you were eligible for that many federal subsidies, you would be at an income level that you would be getting your insurance through Medicaid, not through buying it on the exchange. The exchange is for the people who kind of fall in the gap, as we've discussed a number of times. But let's get right back to the phones.
Yep, exactly. Let's do it. Let's go to Ginny Lynn, who's calling from California on line five. You're on the air.
Hi, I had a comment about the subsidy for Congress. It's unbelievable to me. It reminds me of an old French monarchy where the royalists live under different law than the common citizens, and the king's men are allowed certain rights that the rest of us aren't. I thought we lived in a democratic republic, but it sounds more like an old Louis XIV French century monarchy.
Well, I mean, listen, they're not hiding this from you. It's that oftentimes people don't pay attention to Congress. Now, it got attention then, like you said, the first they were exempt completely and they were getting their insurance the same way other federal employees were. And Senator Grassley said no to that, and they put forward that amendment, which passed because they knew they couldn't politically survive that pressure. But then President Obama came in and gave them the subsidy. So it's again, it's not a royalty-like situation. It's that people don't pay enough attention until we all start feeling the pain and people out there start feeling the pain. And then all of a sudden you start looking at how money's being spent and you realize, wow, they are being treated differently. I mean, that is true. I think that Ginny Lynn's right in that point. They are being treated differently than everybody else in the country because of the fact that they are either an elected official or they work for an elected official.
Well, and the American people spoke out the first time around, Jordan. That's why Senator Grassley moved the amendment. That's why it passed. That's why they are having to buy it off the federal exchange. But again, the reason that President Obama gave them an exemption is because he said we're going to treat Congress like a small business, Jordan. That's what this exemption is. They get a subsidy of 75% because we are treating them like a small business. They're not like any small business I know, Jordan.
All right, back to the phones, Logan.
Yep, let's do it. Let's go to Linda in Charlotte, North Carolina. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon. Yes, this subsidy that the congressmen or Congress people is absolutely, I mean, it's just ridiculous that they are getting that. I have been a teacher for 26 years. I'm no longer teaching. I currently do not have insurance, and yet I'm paying for them to get this subsidy, and that is just outrageous to me. The other thing, I'm just wondering, do their families, do the congressional leaders' families get the subsidy? Or, I mean, do they get their health care taken care of as well?
Well, I mean, if they choose, remember, the way you buy insurance through, so if you're the one who's buying it for your family, then yes, you would, if this is the best option for you, then yeah. So for members of Congress, I think for many of them, yes. Now, some may have spouses that get a better plan through their employer. They may take that. Same thing goes for the congressional staff. But I think many, yes. I mean, they're not, it's not like it's trickling down to their, their cousins, but they're, it's not just an individual plan. They're eligible for family plans through these subsidies. Let's go back to the phones.
All right, Julie in Santa Monica, California, you're on the air on line four. Julie, go ahead.
Hi, all. Thank you. Yes, I'm here. Thank you so much for all your information you give us. My comment is if the Republicans don't unify, they're going to be voted out of office in November, which will have huge ramifications for all the Republican policies, like our economy, taxes, military, foreign relations, immigration policy. We're going to throw it all out the window, and the Supreme Court nominee, if we don't keep unified.
Yeah, well, I think that, again, the idea that Republicans can even stay unified, I mean, they've already kind of demonstrated that there wasn't the unity there. If this members of Congress who had already voted the way they had on the repeal, we wouldn't be having this discussion.
I think a lot of them feel insulated, Jordan. I mean, you've brought this up many times before, but among those who are opposing the various plans, the only one that's up for re-election is Dean Heller in Nevada. I mean, Jeff Flake has a close race too, but he ultimately voted for the proposals that came forward. So I think they feel insulated. And Jordan, I think the question we need to ask is how long will the voters' memory really be on this one?
All right, let's take these calls, Logan.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's go to Melanie in Kentucky online too. You're on the air.
Hello. I'm very appreciative of your program. I think the average American does not understand about these subsidies that the senators get. I think we need to hold the senators' feet to the fire. I think we need another calling campaign. We all need to call our senators, Democrat or Republican, and say we support our president, Trump, in cutting their health care subsidies. We sent them there to be our servants. They are not even willing to help us pay to be able to afford our health care. Why should we pay theirs?
Well, I think that this is the general sentiment. This is not the federal workforce we're talking about. These are the elected representatives of the American people and their staffs who are getting a better deal than the American people and their constituents. And they probably don't like people exposing this. They probably don't like the President of the United States tweeting it because it gets all of us talking and you learn about it and people realize what's really going on is not what you may assume. Let's try to get this last call.
Sure, Anna in Maryland, you're on the air.
Hi, Anna.
Hi there. Thank you. My understanding of the concept of Obamacare was that it was moving toward socialized medicine.
Right.
And the fact now that things have failed and our president wants to work across the aisle, which cooperation is great. However, will the Democrats move forth their agenda? I've seen in the last couple of days a suggestion of a single payer.
That's their dream, but President Trump was not going to authorize that. He's not going to have the government running health care. Again, it may not be the perfect deal, whatever has to be made, but the current system is not sustainable. But no, I mean, to go to a single payer system would take more than just some bipartisan support on health care fixes. That would be a massive new government agency. We'll talk more about it tomorrow.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.